I know that there was a shift in things, and I didn't have this on the in the questions, but when did things shift? Where I know a lot of people are coming back to farming, but it had been farming had been lost in a lot of different places for a while. Not wholly, but what created that shift?
World War One.
Okay.
World War Two. By World War Two, it's pretty. You have to say it's pretty much over. Because of what was going up here at Los Alamos. And now we find out that the dumpings of, the dumpings of the nuclear waste into the land up here above the canyon has led to high plutonium in the Rio Grande itself, this area, and then out of Santa Clara Canyon, those streams that come down and help feed the Rio Grande. My theory, my expression is that once agribusiness came into existence, chewing up all the farmers, forcing people to move to cities, taking over the land, offering people price of money outside of the Pueblos, because after all, Pueblo people can't sell their land to non-Pueblos. But the impact into the Pueblos has to be the same that it was into any small town. Small farming town. I don't know how Alamosa and Mount Vista, for example, survived that period because they just kept planting potatoes. They kept planting. And people from here, from the Pueblos here, would go up to Colorado to help with harvest. But one of the things we know from all the comedy films about World War II is that they needed potatoes to do something with the bad guys. So they would have to peel potatoes. That would be their assignment. But potatoes become, for Americans, kind of like they were for the Irish, but in that instance, of course, the English were trying to kill off the Irish. But that's my response is that there is this. We have to pay attention to what the economy is and what the kind of world politics we're playing, and that causes the shift.
Well, my response to that, Sue Ellen, is when you and I were teaching the course Native American Literature this past semester. And my brother Tito was a guest speaker in the class, and he presented to the class members a paper that he had written a couple of years ago. It was called A Cultural Bomb. And the paper had to do with the effects of Los Alamos on the communities down here in the Rio Grande Valley. And so as people were finding work, it was no longer a bartering situation. It was a beginning of money for labor, so that you had an increasing number of people from the valley, Spanish-speaking and Tewa-speaking people, traveling back and forth to Los Alamos. Not as much as now, but it was beginning. And my father was one of those individuals, and members from your adopted family at San Juan Pueblo were also going back and forth by the day. So that began to, life in the communities as we know it began to change. And Tito said it so well in his paper, Cultural Bomb, about how life changed when men begin to start going to Los Alamos to go to work.
So that the extraction of men from the community was first through the military's development of this horrific bomb, and the next thing is they began to extract the men to go to war. So we have that period too, when the men are not available to continue attending to the fields and taking care of the ditches and so on. And in San Juan, the most important thing that women did, who stayed behind, I mean, of course, most women stayed behind, was to have kitchen gardens, which was being encouraged everywhere. And that was another impact in terms of that wage labor economy that people so quickly became accustomed to.
Yeah.
So we agree that it's about the same time.
It's about the same time.
Yeah.
And what did it do? What was the, I mean, you kind of touched on it, but I just want to ask again, what was the effect on the communities?
Men forgot how to farm.
Men weren't at home. If for those men who had a job in Los Alamos, they were gone most of the day. They would come in the evening only to go back up to Los Alamos. So they were separated from their community, not only their community, but their families. And so life changed considerably. We begin to start thinking of ourselves not in an extended family way, but in terms of that nuclear family situation. And so that was a big, big shift for us, to the point now where we are as familiar in the Pueblo communities with the idea of a nuclear family. And sure, there is a real conscious valuing of the extended family, but not to the extent that it was before Los Alamos came to be. I remember when I was a little kid, Sue Ellen, in the early 40s, where I would remember the moments when we had these huge gatherings at my great-grandmother's house for particular times. And we would all gather, and food was the one thing that was all that always brought us together. But if you've got wage labor, then not everybody can come and participate at a moment's notice. So things definitely change within the community. It was all about work. It was all about being able to have enough money to go to the store and get those extra things that you needed, going to the store to get the clothing that the children needed. More and more and more that was happening. Lots of changes in the community. The kinds of foods that we were eating, I still think about feast days. We have stews as a big part of our feast foods, but also other things came into being, like a potato salad is a big feast fare in the Pueblos for their big feast events. Jello is a big, big thing, along with, you know, the Chico soup, the chili, garbanzos. The beans, the garbanzos, all of those things. So we were introduced to these different foods as a result of the wage economy, you know? We were able to buy things that... And as we moved out from our communities, then we had... we were impacted by what was happening outside. We watched television. We had automobiles to take us here and there, and all that also helped influence the changes in our communities.
A lot of the women didn't actually work in the lab. A lot of the women worked in the homes of the scientists who were making the bomb. And the men were doing various chores in the lab itself and outside of the lab on the peripheries. But what women brought back was an understanding of the way the scientists and their wives lived and the kinds of material goods that they had and how easy it seemed to be to get those things. And you know, as I understand it, women everywhere want to lighten their load when you've got children and you have to cook for everybody and all of that. So if you can shave off a half hour of the day by not having to do the preparation from scratch, as it used to be you had to get pozole. If you can buy it in a can, that somebody else has done all that hard work for you, that helps a lot.
So my pet word process is compromise again and again and again.
Yeah.
Canned foods,
yeah.
You no longer have to do the corn from scratch.
That's right. So you have that not only that system of barter, but the obligations, the reciprocity that happens because you help somebody else during their time of need, and they help you. So it does more of that fracturing of the extended family into small groups and and who can make the most money and who's got the most stuff begins to appear on the horizon. This is happening all over the country, by the way. It's not just in the pueblos that it's going on, but the whole country is just forgetting the origins of the human community.
And the relationship to the land?
Yes.
And to our opa, the mm-hmm. universe, is we're losing that.
And maybe very confused on po'en.
And we're being confused about our path of, mm-hmm. our path's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not as intimate with the process, with the understanding of the land, because we are so busy at wage earning.